Okay, so Nadia's in the studio here from the Jeffrey Lures Support Network, and we're going to be doing an interview with her about the Weekend of Resistance coming up this weekend in support of Jeffrey Lures, who is a political prisoner serving 23 years in prison for setting on fire three SUVs in a empty, well, in a car lot where there's no people around, but there's plenty of SUVs to be torched, and he got 23 years for that action. And so we're going to be talking about that and some of the events that are coming up this weekend to raise awareness on his case and the disparities between sentences that Free has received and the sentences of similar crimes that did not have political, quote-unquote, agendas behind them. So anyhow, we're just going to talk. Right now, we're going to go into a break. Here's some music for you.
Enjoy and stay tuned.
Thank you. We are back. You're listening to Enemy Combatant Radio on www.enemycombatantradio.net. And we're also broadcast. This is a weekend. What a day. This is Christina here. How you guys doing? Thanks for listening. You're listening to Enemy Combatant Radio, a project, the audio project of the San Francisco Bay Area Independent Media Center. And we're broadcast over Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 FM and 104.1 FM, Free Radio Berkeley in the East Bay as well. And this is our weekly news show. And in the studio, we have Nadia. Say hi, Nadia.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So, thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you're with...
Jeffrey Lure Support Network, which is a decentralized group of people who support Jeff and organize events on his behalf, such as video screenings and speaking events, and just getting the word out there about his case as much as we can. Keep it in the media, keep it on the indie media, and all over the world.
Cool. And so how many support networks are there if it's decentralized?
Well, there's a really strong support group in Eugene, Free's Defense Fund, and also Break the Chains in Eugene. They do a lot of great work. And there's a small network in San Francisco, and there's a support folks in New York as well, New York. And then there's just a bunch of autonomous individuals all over the country and in different countries as well. So
can you tell us a little bit about Jeff Lures? Like, you know, why is he in prison and why is he deserving of having a support group?
All right. Well, he's a political prisoner. This is his fifth year in prison, and he was an activist in the Eugene area, and he was known to local law enforcement for his work in environmental activism, setting up tree sits in a nearby forest, and also calling attention to local oppression caused by the law enforcement in Eugene. He also helped set up free food programs and taught self-defense to women. So he's pretty well-known community member.
So he was a feminist also.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so he was sentenced to 22 years in prison for burning three SUVs at a car dealership in Eugene, Oregon. And also they tacked on attempted arson charges as well. And Jeff openly admits that he set fire to the three SUVs and completely denies the attempted arson charges. And he did it to call attention to climate change and to protest oil wars and environmental destruction. He's motivated by compassion and the desire to protect life and not harm it, despite what some may think of his tactics. Basically the judge threw the book at him, and it was stated throughout his trial that he was on trial for his political beliefs and not just his actions. At the end of the trial, they tacked on all these counts against him. I have a list here. He was convicted of crimes of arson in the first degree, criminal mischief in the first degree, unlawful manufacture of a destructive device, unlawful possession of a destructive device, attempted arson in the first degree, attempted criminal mischief in the first degree.
So they basically charged him for... they charged him for each car that he burned. They gave him one arson charge.
Yeah.
So he burned three SUVs, so they gave him three counts of arson.
Mm-hmm.
And each count had a mandatory minimum of 8 years.
Yeah, 90 months. But the problem is it was one fire that burned three SUVs, but they turned it into somehow three separate arson counts, so...
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a politically motivated sentence, and we think he deserves a lot of support in that, and we're hoping that his appeals will keep appealing his case until he's out.
So are you familiar with the disparities between his crime and the sentences of similar crimes that have been committed?
Yeah, actually, I have a bunch of examples, not so much about arson.
How about Tamara Meredith? Do you have do you remember that woman?
No, it sounds familiar, but I can't remember.
She was case. Tamara Meredith from Eugene, yeah, Oregon, okay. Was a forest worker. She was a firefighter for the state, and what she did was, and this is kind of a notorious act that forest workers do, is it's like job security. They'll go and they'll set fire to the forest so that way they can be called out to work to put the forest out. So this woman, Tamara Meredith, in Portland, Oregon, had set the forest on fire, and she was arrested for that.
Yeah.
So she could be put to work. This was in like 95. This was a few years before freeze action, though. So I don't know if the legalities changed, but she ended up doing like 5 years, mm-hmm. 5 years in prison. And she set like 5 acres of forest on fire.
Yeah.
And she gets 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Lures, you know, sets on, you know, 3 cars. And he gets 23 years. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just, you know, what do we value in this? What do we value here?
Yeah. Well, there's some other cases that are pretty intense. In Oregon, a man pled guilty to 1 count of second-degree rape involving a girl under the age of 14, 3 counts of third-degree rape involving girls under the age of 16, contributing to the delinquency of a girl under the age of 18, 1 count each. Of second-degree sexual abuse and 2 counts of delivering drugs to a minor. And it kind of goes on and on with him. He previously served 4 years of a 10-year sentence for a murder he committed when he was a teen in Texas. But he was sentenced to 13 years by the same prosecutor that was in Jeffrey Lures' case. So to cause all this harm to individuals and people, you know, who'll be destroyed for the rest of their life for these, he got 13 years, and Jeff hurt nobody and only, you know, speaks to the liberation of the earth and humans and, you know, only wants the best for communities. And he got 23 years, almost twice that sentence. So
you can rape a woman and abuse a woman and abuse the earth,
mm-hmm.
and get 13 years.
Yeah,
get away with abusing the earth.
Yeah,
corporations do it all the time. But if you set on fire an SUV, man, if you if you start attacking the interests of national security, if you start attacking oil in any way, you're going down.
It's true.
So that's so interesting. So what do you want to do? Do you want to talk about the actions, or do you want to play? I did an interview with Free about a year ago, and you have some spoken word. So do you want to play some spoken word from Free and from somebody who's reading from him, from his written works, and then talk about your actions? Or you want to talk about the actions that are going to be planned now?
Yeah, maybe we should hear some stuff from Jeff and let people kind of get a sense of who he is, and let him explain himself in his own words. And then we can go into the stuff that's coming up in June, next weekend.
This weekend. Okay, yeah. Great. Okay, cool. So I'm going to play, this is about 5 minutes, and it's an excerpt of an interview I did with Free about a year ago. But, I mean, you know, appeals take years, and when it comes to prisoners, it takes a long time for the government to pay attention. So the interview is completely still relevant, and so I'm going to play that, and then I have
a speech that Jeff did at the ELAW conference in Eugene, Oregon, March 6, 2005. He was actually a keynote speaker, and he did the speech over the phone since he couldn't get away to be there himself.
So,
they honored him as a keynote speaker, and it was really nice. And it's about an 8-minute piece, and he goes into the destruction that's going on right now.
So what was the What was the conference about that he it's was the keynote speaker for?
It's an environmental law conference that's been going on, I believe, for 20 to 25 years, and they address different issues about the environment and the law that can be done around that. But I haven't been to one myself, so.
That's great. Yeah. So yeah, we'll play this first. It's got, you know, just, it's like got like some historical background on Free, and then we'll go into the contemporary interviews that he's done recently. So here you go. Okay. So can you tell me your name and where you are and why you're there?
Okay. My name is Jeffrey Lures, a.k.a. Free. I am currently a prisoner at Oregon State Penitentiary. I have been incarcerated since June 2000 for eco-sabotage arson at a car dealership. I've been sentenced to 22 years and 8 months for my participation in that action.
Thanks. So I just have like a few questions. Why do you think you've been given such a long sentence? Do you think it's adequate to the crime you've been convicted for?
I think what they're trying to do, at least at the time that I had been caught, they hadn't caught too many other people involved in these type of activities. And in particular, to illustrate that point, a few days before my trial started, somebody went back to the same dealership that I had lit fire to and did it again. And pretty much did it 10 times bigger and said, yeah, we ain't going to stop. And I think my refusal to take a plea bargain or to bow before them and apologize for what I had done, as well as the just uprising that had been going on in Eugene for the last couple of years. I think they're just trying to set a precedent, set a point to people like me out there saying, you can do these things, but when you get caught, and you will get caught, we're going to treat you harsher than we've treated anyone else before you. So I think that was the whole point behind my sentence.
Wow. So do you think that things have changed in terms of sentencing since you for crimes?
You know, that's kind of a tough one for me to call because there's been a couple of cases in the recent past that have gone before judges on crimes similar to mine or in association with the Earth Liberation Front, but none of them have yet to be sentenced.
Okay, so, nothing that you're aware of in Oregon?
There was a recent spat of school arsons last year, and there was like $500,000, $600,000 worth of damage done, and 4 schools burnt down, and they ultimately caught all those people, and I think the biggest sentence was 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It's fairly common on a lot of the arson arrests up here for the Measure 11 aspect, which is the mandatory minimum, to be dropped, reducing the arson to a property crime for basically anything involved that has to do with people having fun or people doing it for money. Oregon is notorious for firefighters going out in the woods during the summer seasons and starting fires so that they can get called to go put them out and get paid for it. And almost every time they get caught, there was a woman, Tamara Meredith, who in 99 or 2000 burned down like 3,600 acres, and they had to call out over 155 firefighters, and she had 36 counts of arson and was ultimately convicted of 1 and sentenced to 2 years.
So why do you think there are such disparities between the sentences that these people have been given and the sentence that you've been given?
I did mine for politics. I mean, I had a political reason behind what I did, and I'm a participant in a militant political struggle. And I think that they looked at that and said, this person is not acting like a criminal, they're not doing it for criminal reasons, They're not trying to gain money or anything else. They're trying to prove a point and challenge something, and I think that scares them, especially in the climate that we have today. You know, from 98 and up, protest in this country has been getting a lot more intense, and it's been targeting the yokes of its oppression. And I think that's what they're really starting to get frightened of, is we're fighting back for a change. We're not holding signs anymore.
So what is your response to being labeled an eco-terrorist or a terrorist in general?
In a way, it's kind of funny. I'll admit, I definitely go through times where it really bothers me, not because I mind so much about the label per se, but the consequences associated with having that label, which is a possible life imprisonment sentence, should my release date come and they don't want to let me out. But it shows me that they've resorted to their last-ditch effort, which is they can't come out and argue the facts. They can't have a reasonable debate, so they have to resort to propaganda. We've seen what terrorism in this country really is. It's 3,000 people dead in New York. And that they would call me a terrorist for burning some tires on an SUV, I find that laughable.
All right. That was just an interview held with Jeffrey Lures last year about his situation. He's a political prisoner serving a 23-year sentence for burning three SUVs to protest the mass contributions SUVs have to global warming. That was an interview done last year. He talks about the eco-terrorist label. Quite a witty and smart comment there.
Next, we have a speech that Jeffrey Lures did at the E-Law Conference, the Environmental Law Conference of March 6, 2005. And, he did this over the phone. He was a keynote speaker at this event. And here's what he has to say about the environmental destruction that's going on right now.
Hello and welcome to the 23rd Annual E-Law Conference. I apologize for not being there in person today. I simply couldn't get away. My name is Jeffrey Free Lures. In 2001, I was convicted of burning three SUVs and the attempted arson of an oil truck. I am currently serving a 22-year prison sentence for actions that injured no one and resulted in less than $50,000 in damage. The state has labeled me an eco-terrorist and a member of the Earth Liberation Front. I am not a terrorist. I am a man guided by my conscience. Over the years, many people have asked me if it was worth it. The answer is simple. Yes. Prison has not broken my spirit. The threat facing humanity is far more intimidating than any prison cell. Environmentalists are often accused of exaggerating the problem. I think that is because the truth is far more tragic than anyone wishes to believe. Perhaps the most dangerous element of global warming is that it is not viewed as an immediate threat. Climate change has been a gradual process that is quickly building to its climax. By the time the threat becomes a clear and present danger, it will already be too late to act. Drastic changes are already occurring in the Arctic. In 2002, researchers at the University of Alaska concluded that an estimated 24 cubic miles of ice is melting from Alaskan glaciers annually. From the mid-1950s to the mid-1990s, melt held steady at a rate of about 13 cubic miles a year. In the last few years, that rate has nearly doubled. Alaska's annual mean temperature has increased at a rate equal to four times the average global rise. The Arctic Ocean has seen an average rise of 10 degrees Fahrenheit higher than the global average, making the Arctic the fastest heating region on Earth. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, Arctic ice is 40% thinner than it was just 30 years ago. It is predicted that by 2015, the Arctic will be free of ice during summer months, and is expected to be free of ice year-round by 2070. Studies have suggested that global sea level has risen 7.8 inches in the last 100 years as a direct result of melting glaciers and a rise in ocean temperatures. The rise in sea level has increased coastal flooding and severe weather patterns around the world. The rise in global sea temperature, along with other human pressures, has effectively destroyed or threatened with destruction 70% of the world's coral reefs, as reported by the Global Coral Reef Monitoring Network. the report compiled by 240 scientists from 96 countries marks an increase of 11% over the last evaluation in 2000. The loss of coral habitat, compounded with massive overfishing, is contributing to the complete collapse of the world's fish stocks. The depleted fish stocks are unable to recover due to continued commercial fishing and damaged marine ecosystems. The potential loss of this food source has disastrous implications for millions that rely on fish as a staple part of their diet, leading Britain's Royal Commission on Environmental Pollution to state the destruction of the world's oceans is now the world's gravest environmental problem after climate change. Recent findings published in the journal Nature indicate that climate change is worse than previously thought. The world's largest climate prediction experiment, coordinated by Dr. David Frame of Oxford University, concluded that global temperature could increase by 3.6 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That is nearly double the 2.5 to 10.4 degrees predicted by the IPCC. The experiment simulated what would happen if carbon dioxide in the atmosphere were double the 280 parts per million found before the Industrial Revolution, a scenario that is likely to be reached by 2050. More disturbing, however, was chief scientist for the project David Stainforth's statement that even present levels of greenhouse gases maintained for long periods may lead to dangerous climate change. In January 2004, the first comprehensive assessment of the effects of climate change was published. The report, led by Chris Thomas, a conservation biologist at the University of Leeds, and co-authored by 18 scientists from around the world, make this the largest collaboration of its type. The researchers worked independently in six biodiversity-rich regions around the world, comprising 20% of land surface. The report concluded that by 2050, more than 1 million species could be driven to extinction because of climate change. That number comprises a quarter of all known land and animal plants. The report found that much of that loss, more than 1 in 10 of all land species, is already irreversible because of damage caused by global warming. In January of this year, a panel of prestigious scientists warned an international convention gathered at the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization headquarters in Paris, France, that species are being lost globally at a rate 100 times faster than the average rate of the Earth's history. The finding supports the belief that the world is on the cusp of another mass extinction, different from the five mass extinctions of the geological past, only in that this event is caused by human activity rather than external environmental changes. The panel said tens of thousands of species are already committed to extinction. Many scientists are beginning to warn that the danger zone of global warming is not something we are going to reach in 50 years, but rather it is the stage we are entering now, commonly referred to as the point of no return. Already we are beginning to witness dramatic changes in climate and its effects on various ecosystems. Each of the hottest 15 years on record have all occurred since 1980. Even with the various treaties designed to curb global emissions, not enough has been done to reduce greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. In fact, in 2003, carbon emissions from the burning of fossil fuels reached a record high of 6.8 billion tons, a nearly 4% increase from the previous year. It is widely feared that even if all greenhouse gas emissions ceased, the cycle of climate change may have already been put in motion. Dr. Rajendra Pachauri, chairman of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, told the Independent UK in January that widespread dying of coral reefs and rapid melting of Arctic ice had driven him to the conclusion that the danger point the IPCC had been set up to avoid has already been reached. He called for immediate and very deep cuts in pollution if humanity is to survive. For the first time in the known history of the Earth, one species controls the fate of the planet. Humans are amazing creatures with extraordinary reasoning capabilities. Our capacity to create is only outweighed by our ability to destroy. The governments of the world were warned about the dangers of global warming in the late 1980s. Science, since then, has only confirmed human influence on climate change. We cannot count on our governments or world bodies to solve this problem. Those organizations have not only proved ineffective, they have demonstrated themselves to be unwilling. It is the individual that is the foundation for change. It is our individual concepts of what is valuable, what are acceptable social norms, and what constitutes morally unacceptable behavior that create the societies in which we live. Currently, it is acceptable for a corporation to make billions of dollars while releasing toxins into the environment, promoting environmental destruction and climate change. Yet it is unacceptable to sabotage or otherwise use property destruction in an attempt to slow human progress toward catastrophe. An immediate change in thinking patterns is a prerequisite in creating the social change needed to stop the wanton destruction of our planet. The above-ground and underground movements must learn to complement each other. There is no more time for discord because, frankly, we are running out of time. Action is needed now on all fronts. Action that confronts the cause of the problem and not just the symptoms. Those who disagree with direct action must recognize the necessity for it. We can no longer afford to refrain from or condemn direct action. And those in the underground must recognize and understand that action alone has never changed public conscience. Our only hope is to work together. We are united in our fate, and we must be united in our struggle. Now is the time to resist with all our might. From the legal to the illegal, action must be taken. Another world is possible, and only we can make it happen. But we have to act together, and we have to act now. Thank you.
All right. That was just an interview done with Free. He was a keynote speaker at the
Environmental Law Conference in Eugene this last March,
where he addressed the issues of global warming and the necessity for direct action and confrontation of industrial pollution.
Yeah.
Definitely. So what is your response to people who think that arson is a form of violence and it's not a practical way towards achieving social change?
I don't know. I think people have different opinions on lots of different tactics, and I don't know. I think it's important to use every tool in the toolbox per se, and I think it's important to for people to support each other in whatever tactics people decide to use, whether it be letter writing and getting things out in the media and educating people, to taking it upon themselves to do their own direct action. I don't see fires as violent if it's not hurting anybody except maybe the pocketbook of a corporation that is destroying the earth, or it's buildings and money don't have feelings and aren't alive. So if a fire isn't hurting anybody or harming anybody, I don't see it as violence. It's a statement.
Uh-huh. So. Okay. So now you're part of the Free Solidarity Network, right?
Yep.
And this is Nadia here in the studios of Enemy Combatant Radio. And we're coming to an end here. So tell us and our listeners about the Weekends of Resistance for Jeffrey Lures.
Yeah, this weekend, June 10th through 11th, is Weekend of Resistance for Jeffrey Lures. It marks his fifth year in prison. And last year, there was an International Day of Action for Jeff on June 12th, 2004. And there was international events and 27 events worldwide. And it went really well.
And so what about this year?
Yeah, this year, let's see, there's going to be events all over the states again and internationally. And people in social justice movements and environmental movements are organizing to show their outrage about Jeff's imprisonment and continued abuse and the isolation of dissident prisoners across the globe. There's a big event going on in New York and a big event going on in Eugene and in San Francisco on June 10th in the Mission and New College Cultural Center. 6:30, 776 Valencia Street.
That's this Friday.
This Friday,
night.
There's a political prisoner speaking event where we'll be, bringing awareness about Jeff's case, but also discussing the importance of political prisoner support and, bringing more awareness about political prisoners in the U.S.
And the proceeds go to benefit Jeffrey Lure's support
defense fund. Yeah, and we'll have former political prisoner speakers. Claude Marx from the Freedom Archives. He was a political prisoner for trying to help Puerto Rican and Black liberation political prisoners out of Leavenworth. Rita Bo Brown. She's former George Jackson Brigade political prisoner, and she founded Out of Control Lesbian Committee to support women in prison. We have Luis Bato Talamantes. He's a former San Quentin Six. And Rahula Janowski, a former Cherry Pie 3, who took part in the pieing of former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown. So we'll hear from them and also people who do prisoner support work, CAPS, California Anarchist Prison Solidarity will be there. And so will Kilu Naisha, who does Black Panther prisoner support.
Okay, so, wow. Yeah. So that's a full night of great speakers that are going to be there. And when does the event start again?
6:30 Friday.
Friday the 10th at the New College of California Cultural Center. That's 777 Valencia Street. Yeah. Cross Street is, what, 18th and Mission. And what is the price for this event?
It's a donation. It's, you know, no one's turned away. We're if anyone, you know, can afford to donate, we're appreciative, and that'll go to Jeff's Defense Fund. Should be good.
And so there's also, in the greater Bay Area, there's also going to be events in Santa Rosa, Sacramento, and Modesto, as well as all throughout the country and internationally. Yeah. Let's see. What are some of the places internationally that a great website if anyone's interested and you want to find out more about the benefit for free in San Francisco, you can go to freefreenow.org. That's freefreenow.org. And let's see. Internationally, there's going to be events in England, two events in England, Australia, Finland, two events in Finland, one event in Russia, and in Scotland. Wow. So that is a number of countries around the world, mostly Europe, are going to be protesting and raising awareness on Jeffrey Lurie's case, as well as 27 cities in the United States are going to be holding events in solidarity with Free. And so thank you, Nadia, for coming down and doing this interview.
Great. Thanks for having me, and thanks for bringing awareness about Jeff and political prisoners.
Okay, cool. And everyone, don't forget to our listeners to stop by and show your support and attend that event this Saturday at the New College Cultural Center on 777 Valencia with a plethora of great speakers. So you're listening to the weekly newscast on Enemy Combatant Radio and Pirate Cat. This is Christina, and we're moving in.